motivation and energy. Fortunately, the Clean Jeans protocol was able to help Larissa also. Once we cleaned up all her jeans and supported her fast COMT, Larissa was able to overcome her symptoms and regain her enthusiasm for the things that mattered to her. Your takeaway? Clean all your jeans all the time. Make it a daily ritual. Find out which born dirty jeans might need some extra support, and give that support to them. Profiles and personalities. Any one gene is just a single factor in your genetic profile, let alone in your entire personality. But to give you some idea of how your genetic profile might help shape your temperament, here are some quick personality sketches that I've observed in conjunction with the 7 key genes when they're dirty. MTHFR. Some days you're blue and depressed, while other days you're anxious. On good days, your focus is great and you get stuff done. On bad days, you have performance anxiety, a hair trigger temper, and or headaches. Or maybe you just feel grumpy. After eating a salad, you tend to feel great. But you've never paid attention to that because, after all, it's just a salad. COMT. Slow. Man, you're on fire. ADHD? Not in this house. You're cranking away on several projects and already eager for the next one, or five. As you lie down to sleep, you're still cranking away. After tossing and turning, you finally doze off, dreaming of tomorrow's tasks. Tomorrow arrives. Coffee is needed. Once again, you're off and running. You put pressure on yourself, and if you're not accomplishing what you need to, anxiety sets in, so you focus harder to get everything done. And you do get it done. Your colleague makes fun of you for working overtime on a particular project, and you snap at her. As usual, you're quick to be irritated. In addition, sometimes you have an extreme sensitivity to pain and can be plagued with headaches. COMT. Fast. Look at that blinking light. Did you see that dog over there? Man, I wish I could read a book, but I just can't focus. You're always jumping from one task to another, and it's hard to get much done. Friends have suggested that you might have ADHD. You also love shopping and buying new things. The problem is, you feel great buying them, but the next day the shopping high wears off, and you find that you need to buy something else or you start feeling blue. It's getting expensive and time-consuming. Oh, and hugs. They're awesome. The more hugs you get, the better you feel. DAO. You are so tired of not knowing what you can and can't eat. One meal, you're good, and the next you feel awful. Throbbing head, irritable mood, sweaty body, racing heart, itchy skin, bleeding nose. Perhaps you've even spent a ton of money on food allergy testing and found nothing. So frustrating. You keep limiting your foods one by one in hopes of identifying the culprit, but it's a never-ending battle. GST, GSX. Ever since you figured out that chemicals and smells make you feel sick, you've been on a mission to get rid of such stuff from your home. That neighbor of yours is using scented dryer sheets. Again. Those give you a headache within seconds. Your friends wonder why you're such a clean freak, but you know that you're tuned in and sensitive to these things, because you have to be. MAOA. Fast. Carbs. Carbs! Please, get me some of those! Your grocery cart looks like you work for the grain and chocolate industry. You feel so great eating carb-laden foods. You know you shouldn't. But when you don't, you feel blue. The problem is, eating carbs picks you up for only a moment or two. Then you crash. So what do you do then? You eat more carbs. You try diet after diet, but they just make you feel depressed. You're sick of gaining weight, but you feel stuck in that pattern, You don't want to be on antidepressants, but you feel like you can't keep going this way. MAOA, slow. You're easily startled and quick to become anxious or irritated. You can become aggressive and later feel bad for overreacting. You just can't seem to help it. You always have to watch out for headaches, especially when you eat cheese or chocolate and drink wine. Falling asleep at night is always tough, but once you do, at least you sleep soundly through the night. NOS 3. You're freaking out. Your dad, uncle, grandma, and grandpa all had significant heart problems when they were around 50 years old, and now you're getting there. Your doctors check your heart and say it looks okay, but are they checking everything they need to, or are they missing something? Your hands and feet are constantly cold, but your doctors say that's nothing to worry about. You need answers, because this family history is weighing on you. PEMT. Ever since you switched to a vegan or vegetarian diet, you felt just a bit off. Your mind isn't as sharp, you're forgetting things, and you've got aches and pains all over your body. As an omnivore, you felt good overall, though you did have some aches and pains. Your liver felt heavy then, and it still does, just under your right side rib cage. Fatty foods just don't sit right with you either. Now your doctor has said that you have gallstones, and you need to have your gallbladder taken out. No, there must be a way to save it. What's your genetic profile? If you want to know your own genetic profile, there are a few ways to go about it. The most expensive route is to get yourself tested by a company like 23andMe, or Genos Research. At that point, you'll know exactly where all your SNPs are, but you won't necessarily know what those results mean. Another route is to invest 4 weeks in this book's Clean Genes Protocol. Most people I know, including health professionals, get genetic testing results back and focus only on the genes. The problem is, that genetic report is a piece of paper showing your genetic susceptibility, not your genetic destiny. In other words, your genetic profile is not you. Most of the folks who send away for genetic testing are unaware that a gene born clean can easily become dirty. When they read that their MTHFR is normal, they celebrate instead of realizing that, due to diet and lifestyle, it might in fact be super dirty. Even if your MTHFR was born dirty, you don't want to make the common mistake of thinking that you can target it with a magical methylfolate supplement and all will be well. Many of the people who send away for their genetic profile end up following simplistic instructions, thereby creating significant side effects and making themselves worse off than they were before. Here's the bottom line. The only way to truly help your dirty genes is by remaining on the Clean Genes Protocol, a lifelong approach to diet and lifestyle. That's how I do it. That's how my family does it. That's how the doctors I've trained around the world encourage their patients to do it. The result? Healthier, happier lives. I'll tell you what I tell all of them. There are no shortcuts. The tortoise always wins the race. So here's what you need to do. Complete laundry list 1 in the next chapter to find out which of your genes need more support. Spend 2 weeks on the general soap and scrub process. Then complete laundry list 2 to further target specific genes with spot cleaning. Because your genes can give you problems whether they're born dirty or simply acting dirty, I want you to know how to keep all 7 of these important genes clean and healthy, giving them all the support they need. Out of the roughly 20,000 genes in your body, these 7 are critical to optimal health every day of your life. When I say you're going to scrub your dirty genes clean, I'm not saying that you're going to change your basic personality or remove all medical risk. I'm saying that you'll learn to work with your genes, giving them all the support they need. That way, you can celebrate your unique temperament and safeguard your health. Every vehicle drives differently. By understanding your genetics, you gain the opportunity and ability to make choices that will give you a smooth and enjoyable ride throughout your life. Part 2. Meet your dirty genes. 4. Laundry list 1. Which of your genes need cleaning? This is an exciting moment for you. You're about to run through your first laundry list of symptoms so that you can see which of your genes might be dirty. Remember, you don't know which dirty genes were born dirty and which are simply acting dirty. Before we can begin blaming things on our genes, we need to see if our lifestyle, diet, nutrition, mindset, and environment, both indoor and outdoor, are influencing their function. Turn to your enhancement for the Laundry List 1 questionnaire, and let's get started. Getting to know your genes. In the next 7 chapters, you're going to learn about each of the super 7 key genes. Whatever your score on Laundry List 1, I urge you to read every chapter. Don't skip a chapter just because, in your case, a gene turned up clean. Why? Because, as I mentioned earlier, your genes work together. The better you understand each of these 7 genes, the better you'll be able to support your entire body and your overall genetic health. Besides, a gene that's clean now might get dirty later. I want you up to speed on each of these genes so that you can recognize quickly when any one of them is having trouble. That way you can be proactive about your health and stay ahead of the game. One final reason. It's interesting. I know I'm a science geek, but I just can't help it. These are the building blocks of life itself. Your genes give instructions every single second that shape your health, your body, your personality. When you get right down to it, your genes are you. So, keep listening and start learning more about yourself. 5. MTHFR, Methylation Master. My friend Yasmin was in her mid-40s and had struggled with depression her entire life. Nothing clinical. Nothing that kept her from holding down a demanding job as a biomedical technician, or marrying a great guy and raising 2 wonderful kids. But whenever I met up with her, she always seemed a little down, a little flat. "How are you?" I might ask. "I'm okay." "Well, how's your day going?" "It's okay." "And the kids? They're okay?" You get the idea. Yasmin wasn't a client of mine, but she was very interested in my work, especially when I told her about the research I was doing with MTHFR, a gene that has an enormous impact on our physical and mental well-being. When I told her that MTHFR SNPs are very common and that I and all 3 of my boys have them, she decided to have her doctor check out just that one gene. Sure enough, she had 2 SNPs. Because her MTHFR gene was dirty, hundreds of functions in Yasmin's body weren't being properly methylated. As you saw in Chapter 2, methylation is crucial to your body's health. And as you will see in this chapter, MTHFR is crucial to the methylation cycle, the process by which your body's genes, enzymes, and biochemicals receive the methyl groups that they need to function properly. Because of its importance to the methylation cycle, a dirty MTHFR will soon cause you problems like Yasmin's. Your energy level droops. Your mental outlook suffers. Your metabolism gets out of whack. Your hormones go nuts. Your heart struggles. So what's the solution? Well, the first step, as I told Yasmin, is to eat a lot of leafy greens. Your MTHFR's job is to methylate folate vitamin B9. Turning it into methylfolate, the biochemical needed to kick off the methylation cycle. If your MTHFR is dirty, however, it can't methylate all the folate you need, so your methylation cycle can't function smoothly. Luckily, You can help your dirty MTHFR by eating foods that already contain a lot of methylfolate, easing its burden and supporting your cycle. Leafy greens are full of methylfolate, so I told Yasmin to eat more salads and lightly cooked greens. Ideally, diet gives you all the nutrients you need. But if your genes are dirty, and especially if they've been dirty a while, they might need another boost. Yasmin had been depressed for such a long time that her methylfolate levels were likely to be extremely low. For that reason, I also suggested that she take a methylfolate supplement to jumpstart her recovery. Methylfolate is a very potent supplement. You can't just start taking it in big quantities and expect everything to go smoothly. Some people can get away with that, but others will have very disturbing symptoms. Anything from persistent anxiety to intense feelings of anger and aggression. As I do with my clients, I had Yasmin start slowly. Yasmin started the dosage just a week before she and her family took a week's vacation to spend some time with their parents. Next thing I knew, her mother was on the phone to me, with her dad on the other line. "What have you done to our daughter?" they wanted to know. "She's so happy. She seems to really be enjoying life. When you ask her how she is, she tells you about all the things that are going well, that she's excited about. This is the happy person we always hoped she'd be. What happened?" When Yasmin came back, I could see the difference too. She was still a quiet, thoughtful person, but there was an extra spark. Her effect was no longer flat. Instead, it was lively and warm. "I feel like I've come to life," she told me. "Can that one supplement really make such a difference?" I told her I had seen the same type of response with dozens of patients, and that the doctors I'd worked with had shared hundreds of similar stories. In time, I told her, she might not even have to take a supplement. She might be able to get the same effect entirely from diet. That's the power of cleaning up your genes, especially your MTHFR. Your MTHFR in action. Dirty MTHFR genes are probably the most common of all the SNPs. You've already taken laundry list 1, so you have a good idea whether your MTHFR is dirty. But here are a few more ways to track down a dirty MTHFR. I'm hypothyroid. My white blood count, WBC, has been on the low end of the normal range most of my life. I get strong side effects from laughing gas, nitrous oxide. I had to have IVF, or significant interventions, in order to become pregnant and go to full term. One or more of my children are on the autism spectrum. One or more of my children have Down syndrome. My doctors say I don't tolerate medications such as methotrexate, 5-fluorouracil, or phentoin, as well as other patients. I get menstrual cramping and have clots in my menstrual fluid. My homocysteine levels are routinely high, above 12 micromoles per liter. My folate and or vitamin B12 levels are elevated. I can't tolerate alcohol of any type well. I don't eat leafy green vegetables every day. I feel noticeably better after eating leafy greens. MTHFR. The basics. Primary function of the MTHFR gene. The MTHFR gene initiates the methylation cycle, a process that provides methyl to at least 200 functions in your body. Effects of a dirty MTHFR. Your entire methylation cycle is disrupted, affecting antioxidant production, brain chemistry, cell repair, detoxification, energy production, genetic expression, immune response, inflammation, and many other crucial processes. Signs of a dirty MTHFR. Common signs include anxiety, brain fog, chemical sensitivity, depression, irritability, and a hair trigger temper. Potential strengths of a dirty MTHFR. Potential strengths include alertness, decreased risk of colon cancer, stellar focus, good DNA repair, and productivity. Meet your dirty MTHFR. Phew! I know this one better than I'd like to. I speak from personal experience to say that those of us with dirty MTHFRs can be blue and depressed some days, while other days we're anxious. Yep, it alternates, and you never really know what's going to happen next, or why. MTHFR runs in families, so if you've got this particular dirty gene, your family members are probably also prone to mood swings. A dysfunctional MTHFR can lead to a whole slew of health problems. Luckily, there's an upside. On good days, our focus is great, and we get stuff done. We can drive through a ton of work, maintaining concentration from first to last. It's a blessing, but sometimes a curse as well, because we find it easier to rev up than to power down. And sometimes our families might wish we weren't quite so single-minded about everything, from completing a task to finishing an argument. If your MTHFR was born dirty, it can have more than 100 SNPs. However, lab companies test only the most common ones, so your test results are likely to show just 1 to 4 SNPs, which typically lower function to anywhere between 30% and 80%. I'm at the low end, with only 30% function. However, and I want to be super clear about this, even if you were born with a 30% MTHFR, you might experience absolutely no symptoms at all. Why not? By now, you can probably guess the answer. When all your genes are as clean as they can be, your born dirty genes will give you a lot less trouble, maybe even no trouble at all. Don't believe me? Research proves it. Italians have a high rate of a type of SNP that reduces their MTHFR function to 30%. Most of them don't supplement with B vitamins even when pregnant. Yet Italians don't have children born with the birth defects typical of MTHFR SNPs. Why? Because they eat their leafy green vegetables, diet, interact often and intimately with family and community, stress relief, and live in a generally beautiful, sunny climate. More stress relief. Their foods have not been factory farmed, and their dairy products are hormone free. Protection from toxic exposure. In other words, they live their lives following the principles that underlie the Clean Genes Protocol. Principles that support healthy methylation. They're like the healthy mouse in A Tale of Two Mice, using diet and lifestyle to erase any negative consequence of genetics. For a detailed list of health conditions related to a dirty MTHFR, turn to the enhancement. The Methylation Cycle, Part 1. I call MTHFR the methylation master because it's the gene that kicks off your methylation cycle. As you saw in Chapter 2, more than 200 of your body's vital functions rely on methylation. Functions such as skin repair, digestion, and detoxification. In other words, those functions need methyl groups to operate the way they're supposed to. And where do they get those methyl groups? From your methylation cycle. Since the methylation cycle is such an important factor in keeping your genes and your body in good shape, I want you to understand how it works. Think of those 200 functions, or processes, as 200 gardens located throughout your body. Just as gardens need water, so do those processes need methyl groups. The methylation cycle is like an irrigation system that draws water from a clean, clear lake and distributes it to all the gardens. If something blocks or disrupts or dirties the irrigation system, some or all of those 200 gardens won't get the water they need. Likewise, if something blocks or disrupts or dirties your methylation cycle, some or all of your body's processes either won't get the methyl groups they need or won't be able to use them properly. In assessing the effectiveness of your methylation cycle, there are two issues you'll want to look at. Are methyl groups distributed to all the processes that need them? Can each process, once in possession of needed methyl groups, use those methyl groups effectively? What might keep your methylation cycle from effectively using the methyl groups it produces? It's a long list. Chemicals, dirty genes, lack of vital nutrients,
leaky gut,
chronic infection, and stress can all either block the methylation cycle or significantly slow it down. The Clean Genes Protocol will help you clear up all such problems, which is why it's your best route to cleaning up your genes. The Methylation Cycle, Part 2. So, you need your methylation cycle to work efficiently. How exactly does that happen? As noted, it's all about passing on methyl groups to functions that need them. Your MTHFR gets the process going by passing a methyl group to folate. That methylfolate then interacts with another biochemical, homocysteine, for example, passing the methyl group to it. Now homocysteine is methylated and becomes methionine. This process continues from one biochemical to another in a kind of bucket brigade of genes and enzymes and biochemicals. Just picture a bucket full of methyl groups being passed on and on through the methylation cycle. Finally, the bucket ends up in the hands of a biochemical called S-adenosylmethionine, or SAMI. That's the player that ultimately passes those methyl groups on to the 200 functions or processes that need them. When SAMI levels are too low or too high, those crucial processes in the rest of your body are greatly affected. Maintaining the right amount of SAMI is a fine balancing act, and MTHFR plays a crucial role in that process. After SAMI has successfully passed on its methyl groups, it becomes a different biochemical, known as homocysteine. Homocysteine is the end product of methylation, but it's also the beginning. When your body is healthy and the methylation cycle is working well, homocysteine gets scooped up, methylated, and eventually turned into SAMI, and the whole cycle begins again. Beautiful B12. As we've seen, folate, B9, and MTHFR are crucial to your methylation cycle. However, they can't do their jobs without the help of another B vitamin called methylcobalamin, methylated vitamin B12. Your methylation cycle depends on the teamwork of methylfolate and methylcobalamin. If either nutrient is deficient, your methylation cycle can't get a good start, and those 200 vital processes will never get the methyl groups they need. The Methylation Cycle, Part 3. Once SAMI passes the methyl groups on to the various processes that need them, what happens next? The binding of a methyl group changes many compounds in your body so that they have a new structure and a new function. Sometimes the transformation occurs so that your body can use these new compounds. Sometimes it occurs so that your body can expel them. Here are some examples. Compounds methylated to use. Phosphatidylcholine. Choline is a biochemical found in animal proteins. Methylate it, and you get phosphatidylcholine, which your body uses to make cell walls and to perform many other functions. Creatine. Methylated guanidoacetate becomes creatine, which is absolutely crucial for brain and muscle function. Melatonin. Methylated serotonin becomes melatonin, which you need to fall asleep. Compounds methylated to expel. Arsenic. When arsenic is methylated, it stops being active, and your body can flush it out with the help of a superhero called glutathione. Histamine. Histamine is a powerful immune system compound that you want in just the right amount. Too much gives you symptoms such as runny nose or insomnia. When histamine is methylated, your body can expel it. Estrogen. Unmethylated estrogen is active, but methylated estrogen is expelled from your body. So methylation protects you from excess estrogen, which can cause PMS, menstrual issues, and the risk of estrogen-related cancers. These are just a few of the critical biochemical reactions that depend upon SAMI. Spectacular SAMI. You might have seen SAMI in the supplement store. Although it's sold over the counter in the United States, it's considered so potent in Europe that in Italy, Spain, and Germany, you can get it only with a prescription. And no wonder. Once you learn just how many chemical reactions depend on SAMI and the list of ills that SAMI is used to treat, stress, depression, anxiety, heart disease, gallstones, hepatitis, fatty liver, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, dementia, Alzheimer's, chronic fatigue syndrome, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, migraines, and PMS, to name only a few, you can understand how widespread its effects are. Now, right away, a word of caution. Do not conclude that you need to rush out and take supplemental SAMI. Why not? My goal is not to load you up with extra compounds. On the contrary, my goal is to get your body to produce SAMI and support SAMI's role in the methylation cycle on its own. In addition, SAMI may not be right for you. You will learn in later chapters whether you're a good candidate for supplemental SAMI. The homocysteine conversion. When SAMI has finished handing off its methyl groups, it turns into a brand new chemical, one made only inside your body. Homocysteine. Think of a big sheet of cookie dough. You've cut out dozens of cookies in all sorts of shapes, but when you're done, some scraps of dough remain. That's homocysteine. The scraps left over after all that important methylating has gone on. Your body has two choices for that leftover dough. It can roll it back into the next batch of cookies, or it can use it for something completely different. 1. The more cookies option. Homocysteine is methylated and goes right back into the cycle. 2. Something completely different. Homocysteine is used to make glutathione, a key detox biochemical. Glutathione is so important that I often refer to it as a superhero. The decision is easy for your genes. If your body is in good shape, not too stressed, everything working fine, homocysteine goes right back into the methylation cycle. More cookies. But if you have a lot of free radicals and oxidative stress around, which happens if you've been skimping on sleep, feel stressed, and exposing your body to a lot of toxins, then you're going to need more glutathione to clean things up. In that case, your homocysteine will be pulled out of methylation and put toward making glutathione. This is why you want your body in good shape. You want to maximize the materials available to your methylation cycle, rather than shunting them off to make extra glutathione. The Clean Genes Protocol will help you do just that. Measurement myths. Your homocysteine labs. Because homocysteine is a product of the methylation cycle, many doctors believe that measuring your homocysteine levels is an accurate way of finding out whether you're properly methylating. Sorry, it's just not that simple. First, the levels of homocysteine that most doctors consider normal are actually way too high. Most doctors consider 15 micromoles per liter or higher to be high. For me, anything above 7 micromoles per liter is high. So if your doctor is measuring your homocysteine levels, make sure you get the actual number so that you can judge for yourself. Second, sometimes your homocysteine levels are too low. If your homocysteine levels are below 7, you won't have enough homocysteine for both methylation and making glutathione. However, the labs don't necessarily tell you this. When you've got a low number, they just tell you that your levels aren't too high, implying that they're fine. Finally, you could have high homocysteine levels for lots of reasons, not only because you're methylating poorly, and you could have normal homocysteine levels and still be methylating poorly. That said, you don't want your homocysteine levels to be above 7, because however they got that way, high homocysteine levels block your methylation cycle. The higher your homocysteine, the more your cycle is blocked. High homocysteine levels are associated with cardiovascular disease, neurological disorders, cancer, depression, anxiety, neural tube defects, congenital heart defects, cleft palate, infertility, and other issues, all of which result from a blocked methylation cycle. Remember how I said that sometimes a person's methylation cycle can be blocked from using methyl groups, even when they're available? This is a perfect example. If your doctor prescribes methylated supplements to reduce your homocysteine, yet your homocysteine levels don't go lower, that's a sign that your methylation cycle is blocked and is thus not able to utilize methyl groups as they're provided. Such a blockage can occur for a number of reasons. Other dirty genes, inflammation, oxidative stress, free radicals, heavy metals, folic acid, which blocks your folate receptors, yeast overgrowth, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, infection, lack of needed nutrients. Fortunately, the Clean Genes Protocol will clear away these obstacles, ensuring both that you get all the methyl groups you need and that you can effectively use them. Here's the bottom line. If your doctor wants to check your homocysteine levels to evaluate your cardiovascular risk, fine. But if his or her goal is to check your methylation, there are some tests that do a better job. See Appendix A on the enhancement. For a list of what makes MTHFR dirty, as well as key nutrients for a healthy MTHFR and methylation cycle, check out the list on the enhancement. Methylation miracles. I love reading about how life-changing clean genes can be. It makes everything I do seem worthwhile. I had inspiration for days after receiving the following letter from Cheryl Graylack. I never believed that anything could help my high-functioning autistic son. He had such severe anger and behaviors that, looking forward, I saw jail for him as it kept getting worse. As he aged into his late teens, he was suicidal and depressed, and by nighttime, it was horrific. 10 p.m. was the witching hour. When his psychiatrist happened to do a gene test, I stumbled upon the fact that my son had MTHFR SNPs. I started your protocol, which I read about on the internet, and I cannot tell you what a radical change it made in my son. Immediately. He is bathed every day for 60 days. He is less angry, and there are no more issues with depression or suicide. When I say, time to get off the Xbox, he's like, okay, Mom. He's happy, and now I see independence in his future. He no longer gets so angry that he's violent or scary. It's like a miracle. I will tell you that I knew nothing, absolutely nothing, about genes. I'd never even heard about SNPs until September, so I'm not one of the fanatical people. I'm a regular mom who stumbled on genetic help for my son's problems due to one test by a doctor who knows nothing about MTHFR. All I did was follow your protocol from your website. Before we started your protocol, my son had been through every school in our district. He's at a non-public school as a last resort, and the district told them to start calling the police if there were further problems. I mean, we were at our breaking point. Then you came along, and wow, wow, wow. It's been almost 7 months, and he's doing so well. It's been a miraculous change. My daughter, who is in nursing school, has a dirty COMT and MAOA. Once we found out, we started her on Sammy, and it made a huge difference. She's bubbly, happy, and truly a new gal. She is amazed. You have made a great impact on my children's lives without ever meeting them. Thank you. Methylfolate, a potent supplement. I've talked about methylfolate on earlier pages, how important that nutrient is, and which foods are rich in it. Some people, assuming that more is better, want to jump right to supplemental methylfolate. A pill for an ill is a powerful notion. But as you know by now, it's not how I roll. You might need to take supplemental methylfolate, or you might be able to get the same results through diet and lifestyle alone. Even if you do need to take methylfolate, that is, if you try diet and lifestyle and can't get your MTHFR clean, the supplement might have no effect, or even a negative effect, depending on a host of factors. We'll get into all that in the spot cleaning chapter, and I'll talk you through everything you need to know. Till then, please keep reading, do your 2 weeks of initial soak and scrub, and wait to find out what's right for your body. The choline shortcut. If your body doesn't have enough methylfolate, methylated B9, or methylcobalamin, methylated B12, to manage the full methylation cycle, it recognizes the problem and takes what I like to call the choline shortcut. This shortcut is very common in people with a dirty MTHFR, since most are short on methylfolate. This shortcut, like the methylation cycle, methylates homocysteine. But instead of relying on the B vitamins for that task, it relies on the nutrient choline, which is found in eggs, red meat, poultry, fish, caviar, liver, and other organ meats. Although you can get choline from some vegetables, such as spinach and beets, most vegans and vegetarians are deficient in it, just as they tend to be deficient in B12. Vegans and vegetarians, you guys do need to supplement with choline and B12, regardless of whether you have a dirty MTHFR or not. Now, the choline shortcut may work for a short time, but you can't rely on it permanently. It's an emergency shortcut that your body follows to protect your liver and your kidneys. Your primary methylation cycle, by contrast, supports all your organs and tissues, including your brain, eyes, uterus and placenta, testicles, skin, and intestines, to name only a few. The shortcut route doesn't suffice for them. Getting enough choline from your diet is important, but first and foremost, support your methylation cycle. Making the most of MTHFR. As I lay out the Clean Genes Protocol, you're going to learn everything you need to know about how to support your MTHFR gene, whether it was born dirty or is only acting dirty. Luckily, I've had years of personal practice in supporting this gene, for me and for my 3 sons, as well, of course, as for my many clients. I'll happily share with you our keys to balance. Meanwhile, if you think your MTHFR was born dirty, here are a few suggestions to get you started. You can get moving on the following suggestions as soon as you like, even before you start the soak and scrub. Know that your moods will naturally ebb and flow, and don't let mood swings throw you. Recognizing your varied nature will help you be more okay with feeling blue one day and anxious the next. Our goal is to get you more of those good, focused, and productive days, and we can. Folic acid is your enemy. And it's everywhere. Supplements, energy bars, foods, drinks. Cut it out of your life. Right now. Filter your drinking water. By removing arsenic, chlorine, and other unwanted chemicals from your water, you reduce the work your dirty MTHFR has to do. Leafy green vegetables are key for you. Eat them. Often. Make sure you're getting enough B12. Eat sufficient beef, grass-fed only, lamb, eggs, crab, clams, and dark meat fish. Vegetarians and vegans need to check out the Clean Genes Protocol for instructions on how to ensure adequate dietary choline and/or methylated B12. In many cases, you'll want to avoid cow's milk dairy entirely. Food allergies and/or sensitivities to dairy produce antibodies that can clog your folate receptors. Goats and sheep's milk products are usually fine unless you have an autoimmune disease, and cow's milk products may be okay after you've cleaned up your diet and healed your gut. The trouble with serum folate tests. Your doctor might order a serum folate test that supposedly measures your folate levels. But folate is a slippery term, as we saw earlier. In a serum folate test, a lab is actually measuring both artificial folic acid from supplements and enriched foods and natural folates from whole foods. The lab results don't tell you which is which. The moral of the story? Ignore any standard lab reading of serum folate if you're taking any type of folic acid supplement, either separately or in your multivitamin, or if you're consuming significant amounts of folic acid in your food. See Chapter 2 for a list of foods enriched with folic acid. These lab readings are meaningful only if you're not consuming folic acid. I provide additional information about folate testing in Appendix A on the enhancement. How the Clean Genes Protocol supports your MTHFR and your methylation cycle. Diet. By loading up on leafy greens, you compensate for the methylfolate that a dirty MTHFR can't easily produce on its own. By avoiding folic acid, you ensure that your folate receptors remain open to methylfolate and keep your MTHFR as clean as possible. By getting a range of other nutrients, especially B vitamins, protein, and magnesium, you're ensuring that your methylation cycle has all the nutrients it needs, which is crucial both for your MTHFR's function and for your overall health. Chemicals. By avoiding exposure to industrial chemicals and heavy metals, you're keeping your MTHFR as clean as possible while significantly easing the burden on your methylation cycle. In addition, to the benefit of your overall health, without those chemicals, your body can methylate more homocysteine because less is needed for glutathione. By reducing or avoiding alcohol and avoiding nitrous oxide, you're also keeping your MTHFR as clean as possible while easing the burden on your methylation cycle. Stress. Deep, restorative sleep is your best friend here. It's the best stress reducer I know. Along with other types of stress relief on the Clean Genes Protocol, sleep will lighten the burden on your MTHFR as well as on your methylation cycle. 6. COMT, focus and buoyancy, or mellowness and calm. When Margot and I met, her exuberant personality seemed to fill the room. She smiled at me enthusiastically, but she looked tired and drawn, though she was only in her mid-30s. And when she began reeling off her long list of symptoms, I understood why. She had trouble sleeping. Caffeine made her more irritable and anxious, though those feelings plagued her even without it. She got fierce headaches every month, the day before her period. She had a demanding job as a high school administrator, which she loved, but which left her feeling burned out and exhausted at the end of every week. As she put it, "If it weren't for weekends to recover, I don't think I'd be able to start up another week. I love my weekends." Margot's personality and health assessment fit the profile of slow COMT SNPs so perfectly that I wasn't surprised when her test results came back. I explained to her that her particular inheritance of a dirty gene was loaded with both pros and cons. Strengths. Natural enthusiasm and exuberance. Altruism and generosity. Energy and productivity. The ability to focus for long periods of time. Weaknesses. Trouble winding down. Sleep challenges. Workaholism. Difficulties metabolizing estrogen, which can lead to menstrual issues, fibroids, and female cancers. When I met Blake the following hour, I was struck by the ways in which he was almost a mirror image of Margot. A carefree young man in his late 20s, Blake was the ultimate laid-back personality. He slept deeply, but even after a good night's sleep, he rarely felt energetic. He loved his coffee, a few times a day to energize him. He had lots of interests: world music, Japanese literature, exotic reptiles, horseback riding. But he had trouble focusing on any one activity for very long. Although he was deeply committed to his friends and his girlfriend, he told me that it was hard for him to show up for their dates on time, and that sometimes he even forgot plans completely. "Something else comes up," he explained with a shrug, "and then I just get involved in that." If Margot fit the profile of the slow COMT, Blake was the poster child for the fast COMT. Like Margot, Blake's dirty gene provided him with both strengths and weaknesses. Strengths: natural calm and ability to relax, high tolerance for stress, an undemanding and accepting nature, a broad focus, a wide range of interests, an ability to sleep well. Weaknesses: trouble revving up, difficulty maintaining focus, distractibility, weak memory, tendency toward depression. Both Margot and Blake had dirty COMT genes, but while Margot's dirty gene was too slow, Blake's was too fast. Each responded in different ways to their body's biochemicals. Your COMT in action. The COMT gene determines your ability to process catechols, estrogen, and some major neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, noradrenaline, and epinephrine, adrenaline. Catechols are compounds found in green and black tea, coffee, chocolate, and a few green spices, such as peppermint, parsley, and thyme, as well as in the supplements EGCG, green coffee bean extract, and quercetin. Neurotransmitters are the biochemicals that, in the brain, enable us to process thought and emotion. Let's look at three key neurotransmitters. Dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter involved in excitement, thrills, and uncertainty. A burst of dopamine is a huge reward. It makes you feel terrific. When I tell you that falling in love is accompanied by a huge dopamine rush, you can see how good it makes you feel. Dopamine is also present in high levels when you're gambling, riding a roller coaster, or getting ready to meet a big challenge. Any high-stakes activity where the outcome feels uncertain. Likewise, dopamine is also involved in addictions. The dopamine rush following the ingestion of certain drugs is so pleasurable that you feel as though you'd do anything to repeat it. Cocaine, for example, triggers dopamine. But so does a thrilling first date, a scary movie, or skydiving. The technical name for this triggering of dopamine and our urge to repeat it is reward system. Dopamine is your body's ultimate reward, the thing that feels so good you do almost anything to feel it again. Norepinephrine and epinephrine. Norepinephrine and epinephrine are your two key stress neurotransmitters. They help you rev yourself up for big challenges, anything that requires extra physical or emotional effort. If you're an emergency room doctor, nurse, or orderly, for example, you might need repeated jolts of norepinephrine and epinephrine all through your shift to keep jumping into action each time a new patient is wheeled through the door. As you saw in Chapter 2, your body has both a stress response to meet new challenges and a relaxation response to rest, heal, and recover. Ideally, both are balanced, so you rev up quickly for a big challenge, meet the challenge, and then restore your energy with a calm meal and a good night's sleep. How easily you rev up depends at least partly on how quickly your body can pump norepinephrine and epinephrine into your system. How effectively you power down depends at least partly on how quickly you can clear those biochemicals out of your system so that you can relax and regenerate. Margot's slow COMT was slow to clear catechols, estrogen, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine from her system. As a result, her levels of these compounds tended to be high. The extra estrogen gave Margot glowing skin and good sexual function, but it also caused monster PMS and put her at risk for breast and ovarian cancer. The extra neurotransmitters gave her abundant energy, enthusiasm, and drive, filling her with a sense of confidence and optimism. But they also made it hard for her to power down, take a break, and get restful sleep. They also made it very difficult for her to calm down after caffeine. Her dirty COMT had trouble clearing that stimulant from her system. Only half joking, I told Margot, Most of the time, you're Superwoman. You've got tons of energy, drive, and focus. Laughing, Margot finished the sentence for me. But that one time of the month, watch out. Indeed, Margot often found herself irritable and snappish, the result of all the extra estrogen and neurotransmitters. Blake's dirty COMT, the mirror image of Margot's, as I noted earlier, was fast. It metabolized catechols, estrogen, and stress neurotransmitters so quickly that Blake's levels were usually low. Women with this gene struggle with low estrogen, which leads to such symptoms as vaginal dryness, reduced sexual function, and in their 50s, trouble with menopause, when estrogen levels are dropping anyway. They're also at risk of heart disease. Meanwhile, Blake's low levels of stress neurotransmitters gave him an enviable serenity and calm, an admirable ability to shake off the little irritants of life that so often bother the rest of us. Most things genuinely didn't bother Blake. He was wired for acceptance, adjustment, and compromise. The downside was that he often lacked the ability to focus, bear down, and get things done. He didn't mind if you were an hour late to an appointment, but he didn't necessarily mind if he was either. And since his dopamine levels tended to be low, he often lacked energy and confidence. "I do my best," he told me, "but I don't expect that much to come of it. Caffeine and chocolate are my go-to pick-me-ups. They help, but the boost doesn't last." As you can see, both types of dirty COMT have their strengths and their weaknesses, and both pose specific challenges to your health. Our goal, as always, is to support the strengths while minimizing the weaknesses. COMT, the basics. Primary function of the COMT gene. The COMT gene affects the way you metabolize estrogen, catechols from food and drink, and the stress neurotransmitters dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. Effects of a dirty COMT. Slow COMT. You may not be able to clear catechols, estrogen, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine from your system. As a result, they remain in your system longer than they should, with a variety of physical and psychological effects. Fast COMT. You clear catechols, estrogen, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine from your system too efficiently. As a result, they leave your system sooner than they should, with a variety of physical and psychological effects. Signs of a dirty COMT. Slow COMT. Common signs include buoyancy, confidence, energy, enthusiasm, strong sexual function, estrogen issues, PMS, menstrual issues, fibroids, risk of female cancers, irritability, pain intolerance, sleep difficulties, trouble relaxing or powering down, workaholism, and sensitivity to caffeine, chocolate, and green tea. Fast COMT. Common signs include excessive sense of calm, good-temperedness, lack of sleep difficulties, effective stress response, pain tolerance, difficulty completing tasks, difficulty focusing, forgetfulness, lack of confidence or optimism, low energy, menopause, perimenopause challenges, and reliance on caffeine, chocolate, and green tea. Potential strengths of a dirty COMT. Slow COMT. Potential strengths include altruism, energy, enthusiasm, exuberance, focus, generosity, and productivity. Fast COMT. Potential strengths include ability to relax, acceptance of others, broad focus, calm, high tolerance for stress, restful sleep, and a wide range of interests. Meet your dirty COMT. Turn to the questionnaire on the enhancement to see if you have traits associated with slow and fast COMT. The methylation cycle and COMT. By now, you've got a pretty good idea of how important the methylation cycle is. As you saw in Chapter 5, the SAMe portion of